I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we feeling?
All right.
Good.
Excellent.
Hang on.
You sound like you feel great.
I have the sniffles and I can't tell if I'm getting ill or if it's hay fever. I never have hay fever normally, but I've been bunged up since this morning. So
okay, so it might not be hay fever because I feel like a lot of the hay has been fevered around.
Yeah. But apparently Andrew's also feeling very sniffly today.
Okay.
So and me and Andrew have not hung out.
Hmm.
So either we're separate sick or we've both got hay fever.
Separate sick.
Yeah. Or your boyfriend has been hanging out with Andrew and
maybe.
You don't know it.
True.
Maybe.
Or your cats.
Or my cats.
Andrew does love cats. That's true. So maybe he's been catnapping during the day.
Maybe.
You'll never know.
No.
How are we coping with the weather this week?
Loving it.
All right. Yeah.
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 I'm thriving. This is my weather.
What?
Thriving.
I thought you said frithing then.
No.
I'm writhing.
I'm thriving.
I'm thriving.
I love it.
Occasionally getting too warm in like the office of my house. If I have to sit and stream or whatever in a fairly small room on a south-facing window with a computer on in there. But other than that, all right, really. Yeah.
Good.
And I'm enjoying it on the weekends.
Yeah.
Not so much at night if it's too hot to sleep. But it's not really been... We've got a fan, so... All right.
Mm.
How about you?
My fan doesn't really do anything.
No, imagine your
flat gets
hot.
Very hot.
My flat does get very hot because I'm under the roof. So what on earth? Do you want to move from that spot where you're creaking? Okay.
And you've got like an entire wall of windows as well.
I do. It's basically impossible to escape. And it just heats up the entire flat. And especially when I'm doing like a podcast or a stream or something and I'm sat next to the PC and then I have to close the door and there's no airflow.
Yeah.
It's pretty unpleasant. But it's been all right in the office, I think. Kieran nearly passed out the other day because he was so tired. Because it was so muggy in the office.
Yeah, I felt really unwell on Tuesday. I was like trying to record something and I was like, I can't get my words out. My brain is just not, I've got such foggy head and it just wasn't working because it was raining outside and it was so thick upstairs that like it just it was awful.
I have been sleepy recently and it's partly the weather and also I guess occasionally I take a hay fever tablet, but normally I try not to because they make you drowsy as hell.
Yeah.
And you've got to drive as well sometimes. Well, this is actually a video game podcast. It's not a summer weather report podcast. And each and every week we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor that helps us keep the lights on here and do what we do. Any sign of...
He's back in the bathroom.
He's back in the bathroom. Dead Island 2, the spider is back in the bathroom. What are they doing upstairs?
I don't know. Is it Dead Island 2 up there?
They're just clomping around in one very specific place that probably isn't picking up on the microphone, but it's just the creakiest...
Yeah.
So, it's so creaky. I've got the ad read. Are you ready to hear about this week's sponsor?
Yeah,
yes.
Boy, am I.
So this is a Square Enix competition that they're throwing in collaboration with the NHS and their best neurosurgeons.
Right.
This is tying into a game that's coming out this week, or that has come out this week. It's sort of a ball/dance where the best dressed patients will win. Okay, so this is the competition. The best dressed patients of these top NHS neurosurgeons wins the whole thing. Competition with Square Enix. This is, of course, the Spinal Jamboree Sick Preen.
Huh? One more time?
Spinal Jamboree Sick Preen.
Preen?
Yes.
Sick Preen.
Sick preen, as in to preen yourself. Spinal jamboreen, sick preen. I'll say it again. Spinal jamboreen, sick preen.
Spinal jamboree.
Jamboree. Sorry. Sick. Spinal jamboree, sick preen.
So it's Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, I know that.
No,
yeah.
It's spinal jamboree.
I'm just trying to figure out.
So it's the spinal jamboree.
So it's a dance competition.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Where the sickest preen, the best looks, wins the competition.
Right, so the sick isn't to do with it.
Isn't
being
to do
patients.
With illness. I'm talking like wicked.
Even though you said that
they are patients. They are hospital.
It's a double entendre. It's both sick in they're at hospital and also sick because it's so cold.
So it's the spinal jamboree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's
sick
the spinal
preen?
Aspect?
Because they're neurosurgeons.
Because they're neurosurgeons.
Oh, right. Not like chiropractors.
No.
Okay.
No, don't worry. I explained it very clearly in the setup. Yeah, it all makes perfect sense.
Spinal jamboree.
Sick preen. Yes. Yeah, so this is, as I said, the Square Enix competition in collaboration with the NHS and their best neurosurgeons. It's a dance, where the best dressed patients win.
I don't want to question it, but should it not have been a fashion show potentially, given that it preening oneself is to make you look really good?
Yeah.
And that's how you win.
But what's that got to do with dancing?
Because it's a jamboree. And as we all know, dances do take place at jamborees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've never been to a jamboree, particularly a spinal one.
Yeah. Huh?
No, I haven't.
Really showing ignorance here, both of you today. Fortunately, though, it's not real. So you can learn a bit more about spinal jamborees in time for the next one. And then you'll be fully aware of what's happening. And we're not sponsored by Final Fantasy 16 either. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1, you can submit questions to this podcast. There's loads of other tiers available as well, including access to our bonus After Dark podcast that we're going to record immediately after this one, where we talk about anything but games and we answer all your questions about whatever you want. It goes out on a Monday for patrons every fortnight, so you should go check that out. We got a question, Peter?
Yeah, we got a question here from Chris McVeigh, who says, "Hi, BAP. The claim has been going around that Konami had internal builds of Metal Gear Solid 4 running on the Xbox 360 around the time of its release. Do you have any other gaming what-ifs? Any ports you'd have liked to see that never came to fruition? Any E3 announcements from the past that went nowhere? That sort of thing. Cheers! Exclamation mark, full stop."
Cheers.
Cheers.
Exclamation mark, full stop.
I wrote one that immediately came to mind. I'm sure there are many others, but I am sad that Wild just died a death. I think that was probably an E3. It was certainly shown.
I think it was Gamescom.
Oh, was it Gamescom?
I think it was. Yeah.
Well, it was certainly shown at one of the larger kind of gaming shows, and it looked great. I'm sure it was very much a vertical slice, but it looked like it actually sort of ran and was. You could imagine that it was ready, even though, as I say, vertical slice, a lot of these things are not at all ready.
Mm.
But it looked great. You could become animals and ride a bear, and there was a nice big open world to explore. Music sounded quite good. It looked really, really interesting. And then, no, it's not happening. It's dead. Forever.
Do we still not know if it's actually dead? Is it one of those
I don't
games?
Think officially it's okay. ever been said that it's died, but I think that various journalists and stuff have said that they have heard from a source that it internally has just stopped.
Right.
And possibly even the studio is defunct, although I don't think they are. It's been reported that it's dead, even though the actual studio hasn't come out and said, "We'd like to announce to everyone we're not making this anymore."
It's gone. Is the website still up? Because didn't they upload like two screenshots
yeah.
a few years ago and it was really weird?
I just remember us like talking about it a little while ago.
Concept art to the website. That's all they did. And then, it's probably wildgame.com or something.
Yeah.
I'm finding a lot of results for meat.
Right. Yeah, Wild Game.
Deer and stuff.
The studio was called, I think, Wild Sheep Studio or Black Sheep, possibly.
How about Man versus Wild, the game? Does that interest you?
Yeah. Have we played that one, I think? Or
I don't
it might
think
be on the
so.
List on Worst
yeah,
Game
Wild
Ever.
Sheep. Here we are. PlayStation 4 game. Does it have a website? Let's have a look.
I mean, it was being led in part by Michel Ancel, who no longer works in games, so that can't have helped. But
Maybe not. Wild Sheep Studio. I'll have a look while you continue.
So yeah, that's the one that came to mind, and I'll sit and think, see if there are any more in my head. But yeah, what about you, Ashton?
I think the one that's probably most famous for everyone wanted it but it never happened is Silent Hills / PT. Because everyone loved the PT like slice, so it would have been so nice to have that game become a full game. But that's probably the biggest one. It's such a shame that it never came out, because it's so famous for being great and just disappearing into nothing. I think like now you can't even play the PT the playable test anymore.
No, you need a console that had it installed. You can't.
Yeah, they can't delisted it, which sucks.
Yeah,
I believe their front page has concept art from Wild on a rolling sort of slideshow.
Right,
but there's nothing else on the homepage, and there's nothing about their games.
Well, they used to be, so it's quite telling.
Yeah, you can contact them about life in Montpellier, working with us. A bit about their studio. It looks like the website has not been touched for a long, long time though. So there we are.
There you go.
Also, it would have been nice to see what Star Wars 1313 could have become.
Really,
I know we've obviously got a Scoundrels-esque game coming out very soon with Outlaws, but it would have been cool to see that game and see what they had in store for us with that. There's been like the odd screenshot and concept art that's floated around every now and then. But it would have been nice to have whatever Star Wars 1313 was going to be.
Well, Amy Hennig is now working on a Star Wars game.
Yes.
I don't think you're allowed to say that out loud, otherwise it will be cancelled.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone's just got to be quiet and let it come out.
It reminds me as well, there was an official, a real Star Wars Battlefront 3 of the original Battlefront 1
Pandemic,
and 2.
Pandemic, right?
That was, I think so. Yeah, it must have been. That was basically like 95% complete, and there's just loads and loads of cutscene stuff online, and there was a whole campaign where there were these two clones who didn't look like all the other clones. They were like from a different strand, and then there was also concept art that had already been done for Star Wars Battlefront 4 that had all these actual what if characters, like
Watto.
Yes. Watto was there, of course. Good. But it had like Jedi Leia that you could play as, or like what if Vader had been redeemed and, you know, he'd survived the Death Star explosion? What if Obi-Wan had turned into a Sith Lord? Like they'd drawn all these characters, what if Mace Windu had survived falling out of the Mace Windu? It looked really cool. Both of them looked really good, and they never happened.
Go and watch the list video we made ages ago about 10 Star Wars games that you'll never get to play.
Yeah, both of them are on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's mine.
Excellent. They're really good ones.
Thanks.
I still think about Star Wars 1313, and I did for a long time after it was cancelled. I've probably told this anecdote on the podcast before, but when I worked in retail, any time, and it happened, it's probably confirmation bias as much as anything else, but it felt like it happened a lot where someone shopping would come to £13.13. Every time I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, that Star Wars game.
They're getting stabbed.
Such a shame. Like, oh no, we're never going to play it. I have a couple. One of the ones that, one of them is more recent, actually. We've probably spoken about it on the podcast, is that Gears of War 3 was once running on a PS3. As a way to test Unreal Engine by Epic in 2011. So theoretically, I mean, it never would have done, but it could have come out on PS3. That is now available on the Internet Archive, and you can actually download and play it on a debug PS3 console if you want. That's now been uploaded. But that was a thing that happened, much like the story of MGS4 running on Xbox 360. The main one, though, which has an exciting new development as far as I'm concerned, in that I haven't checked in on this in years, but I remember learning, it would have been 2006 when it was announced, that Oblivion was not only coming to PS3, but also coming to PSP. And there was going to be an Oblivion port on PSP. And I thought, that's amazing. I really, really want to play that. And there was just a little bit about it in the PlayStation magazine I was reading. I never heard about it again. And I kept checking in, and eventually I discovered that it was cancelled. However, you can actually download an ISO of it. Like the unfinished version is now available on the internet and has been for several years. You can download it and play it in an emulator, because I think a modder has gone in and textured some stuff and like sort of tie up any loose ends to make it at least somewhat playable to whatever extent it got through development, which I think is really exciting. And it got really far along so far, in fact, that there is actually a there's a Metacritic listing for the PSP version just with no reviews on it. So it was a very real thing that is actually tangible and you can actually play. And I just think how amazing that would have been to have a PSP version of Oblivion. Mm. It was going to be called Elder Scrolls Travels Oblivion. That's what it's going to be called.
Oh.
So I might have to play that, give it a go, because I find that dead interesting.
Yeah.
But there's a couple for you.
Mm. Wow. Now it's time to talk about what we could have been playing if they'd have come out, but actually talk about what we have been playing in this brand new segment that we're calling What We Playing.
Whoa.
It's What We Playing time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter Austin, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game. Mm. I was away over the weekend for like 3 or 4 days, so I've not played a great deal of it, but I've been so much stomping upstairs. I've been playing Star Wars again, and I'm really enjoying it. I've met everyone's favorite frog boy.
Turgle.
Yeah.
Turgle.
I've been sort of going off as much off the beaten path as I can. I can tell that I'm Metroidvania-ing a lot. Like I'm encountering doors where I'm like, oh, can't get through there yet.
You're still trying to brute force them though.
Well, that's what I do. Yeah. I'll sort of press every button on the controller before I go away.
I got trapped in a puzzle.
Jump over stuff and
just dashing through walls, got trapped in a puzzle and I couldn't get out because I don't have the necessary skills, so I had to quit.
But yeah, really enjoying it. I think it looks really good. I'm still having issues with it, with the way it runs though. I've not had any more crashes, and it did actually get just a little update, like a little patch this week. But it's not crashed on me since last time, last podcast. But it is pretty stuttery at times, and I've got performance mode enabled as well.
Interesting.
So I don't really know why. It doesn't really tend to stutter during actual gameplay, but at the very start and end of cutscenes, you know, when I like walk into an area and he's like looking over a vista or whatever, it sometimes like hangs a little bit. So that's a bit annoying.
Is your PS5 getting too hot?
I don't think so. I mean, It's never had an issue before with like any other game, and it's always just been in the same place. So, but then I guess the weather is hot, so maybe the PS5 is hot. I don't know if that. I guess that does affect performance ultimately. But
it's weird.
I saw a lot of tweets this week about people like reviewers who are playing our game that's coming to PS5, saying that whatever this mysterious game is, which I'm assuming was Final Fantasy 16, given it's coming out this week, that a segment of it was so intensive that it was just shutting down PS5 because they were overheating. Goodness. So they were like, if you want to play mysterious game, make sure you clean your PS5 out before you start it, because otherwise if it gets too hot, it's just going to turn your PS5 off because it's too intense.
Wow,
great. So, okay. Well, that sounds like a ringing endorsement for that game, to be honest. Yeah, like, but how far can we push the PS5?
This mysterious game of maybe potentially Final Fantasy, but maybe not. But I don't know what other ginormous games coming out on PlayStation 5 in the near future.
So be that. So it's like stuttering in places. And then I'm also just seeing like little bits of just stuff that shouldn't really be happening. Like I'll at one point, like BD, or was it BD? No, it was a character, it was Grease. I was in like a cutscene with Grease, and then it like I'm back into gameplay and he's like walking away from the cutscene. And just as he went out of frame, I turned and he was walking, doing his end of cutscene walking out of frame animation, and then he suddenly was like on the other side of the room out of nowhere.
Oh no.
So the game clearly, the developers thought like, we'll walk him out of frame, and then by the time you turn around, he's over there doing whatever he's doing. But no, they'd not quite done it right. So I saw him like pop across, and
that's
I'm just seeing little things like that, just little like quality of life, like bits and bobs. It's not, I've not got stuck anywhere at any point. I've not like, you know, got into a room I can't get out of or anything like that. But it's just, it's not quite got the polish that I would like it to have. But it sounds like my experience has been at least somewhat different to other people who I've spoken to. So I guess I've got a bad batch or something.
Very good.
Not intentional, but it's weird. It's weird that happens with games at all. You know, some people, there'll be a game that has like a bad launch, like Cyberpunk or something, and some people will say, it's really bad for me. And other people say, it's all right, it's a bit buggy. And I don't really understand how that happens from one machine to the next, or one copy to the next, but that's what's happening with me.
I'm still waiting for them to fix the bounty bug so I can actually finish the game. But I'm not going to get all the trophies, so I'm not that bothered by it. Is that all you've played this
week? That's all I played this week, yeah.
I've played two things this week. I've played some more Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like right near the end now. I've just had to, I stopped playing because it was quite late and I haven't had time to pick it up back up again. But yeah, man, that game's great. Love that game. And then I've also been playing some Assassin's Creed 2. I downloaded the Ezio collection off of PlayStation Plus and been giving that a go. And man, I forgot how janky the traversal in these games can be. The amount of times I'm like yelling at Ezio for just, instead of like climbing onto the next rung, just throwing himself into like the an abyss of just falling and dying. But it's great. It's the kind of traversal that I really like in Assassin's Creed games. And it's giving me like the happy feeling of just running around a city and like on all the rooftops and I just think it's so nice to have a smaller, condensed version. I've not played Assassin's Creed 2 before, but I have played Brotherhood. So I'm kind of playing Assassin's Creed 2, then I play Brotherhood, and then I play Revelations.
How far through 2 are you?
Well, my thing says I'm about 45% of the way through.
Okay, so you've probably got like, to the point where you're collecting art.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I would leave my console on. And like, because the money generates while your system's running. And I'm like, yeah, I've got so much money now, I can buy the armor that I want.
I'm at the point where I've rescued a man called Lorenzo who is helping me take down the Templars.
Yeah.
I just think it's nice. I think it's good. It's funny how when I first saw it, I was like, wow, I forgot the graphics could look like this because I've not played a game that's this era in a while. Mm. But then I also think that some of the cutscenes in the real world of the Assassin's Creed games look worse than the cutscenes in like the kind of old-timey world, like some of the facial animation. I mean, obviously it's not hyper-realistic like we're used to nowadays, but it's funny how to see, like, for some reason I noticed a big difference between the opening cutscene in like we're in the Animus place and then into like we're in old-timey Italy. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that. So I'm going to keep playing that this weekend. But if the sun's out, I'm not going to be inside. So
So suck it, Ezio. Yeah.
Sorry about it. Going to have to wait.
Are you getting excited for Mirage the more you play?
I am. Yeah, I think that's why I've gone back and played them.
Yeah,
I saw Mirage and I was like, man, I can't wait for that. Like, I really am excited to explore cities and that kind of thing. And I was like, I'm kind of in the mood to go back and play some old stuff. I've also installed Dishonored 2, so that's also on my list of playing.
Dishonored 2 is great.
Yeah.
I prefer the first one, but there's some amazing levels in Dishonored 2. Really cool
stuff. I also thought about installing the other Dishonored, like Dishonored subtitle. I can't remember what the subtitle is because it's not numbered.
Death of the Overseer? That's an expansion for the second one.
I don't know, because there's like another one. I don't know if it is Death of the Overseer, but there's a second Dishonored on PlayStation Plus. So
maybe it's the expansion.
I think
it was quite sizable. I don't know. Have a look.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing this week. What have you been playing, Ben?
Excellent. I finished off Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Mm-hmm. Turns out I actually got really close to the end and all I needed to do was take over 35% of the hoods.
Right.
Which sucks. Mm. That's not fun at all. And then I could access the final mission, which was also irritating and had bad checkpoints. But I've done it now. I finished Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I did the darn thing. And there was no real... last week I was talking about how his brother's kind of a dick to him.
Yeah.
There was no real resolution for that. It was just like, hey, my bad. Guess I'm going to hang out here. And that's it. It's right. Like, oh, man. Yeah. You guys, it's not good. The relationship you have is not good. But I am glad that I finished it. And I feel like that's a big, like, backlog game ticked off.
Yeah.
I do not have the time to jump straight into another one of those beautiful remasters. Mm-hmm. So lovingly so cared beautiful. For.
Well, especially if you're going backwards, they're going to feel even worse.
They are.
If you go into GTA 3, you're not going to have a good time.
I'm going to have a rough one. It did actually make me really want to play Grand Theft Auto 4 because I'm very nostalgic for that. And then it got me thinking... Wow, that game is highly inconvenient to play these days unless you play on PC. Mm-hmm. Why have they not supported that. That's nuts. But no, I am very aware that Final Fantasy 16 is out right now and I really want to play it. We've not had any review code through, but I am also playing a game that I can't talk about that is actually dominating my time at the moment, and I'll be able to talk about it next week on Review Corner. The other thing that I've been playing is more of that Diablo 4. Still playing that in co-op, having a great time. I think I'm close to level 40 now with my Barbarian. And I've done a little bit more of the story mode, including catching up with that fella who's in Final Fantasy 16 as well, the guy from Yorkshire with the who sounds like he's gargling gravel, who was in Game of Thrones as well.
Right.
You'll know him if you hear him.
Sean Bean.
Not Sean Bean, no.
He's from Yorkshire and sounds like he's gargling gravel.
Yeah, CB.
No, this
and
one
was
is
in Game of Thrones.
This, yeah. Well, you know what? Oh, you're actually right. Mean.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
The one from The Office.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember what his name is.
He does the Datcha adverts.
The Datcha range.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, he sounds a bit like Mr. Bean.
Yeah, it
does. Yeah, him. He's also in Diablo. And so it was nice catching up with him, killing some big monsters. Still not yet grown tired of the sort of same gameplay loop, the same formula of, hey, there's a dungeon there. Should we go in and do that? Yeah, let's go and do that. And then the interior of the dungeon is very similar looking to all of the other dungeons. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a good time with it, and I'll probably keep chipping away at that. The last little thing that I had a little play with was Lumines Remastered, which I bought in the Days of Play summer sale for about £2. And it was a port, I believe, of one of the Vita launch games that I ended up being very surprised with when I gave it a go. It sort of just made my eyes completely glass over, and I just got kind of lost in it. It's sort of like a Tetris style music blend game. It's hard to describe and I'm not very good at it, but I really enjoyed just having a mindless few minutes playing it between sessions of more intense games. What's his name?
Ralph Ineson.
Yeah, that's it.
Or Ineson.
Also, the Dishonored game is called Death of the Outsider and it is an expansion. It's a standalone expansion, so you don't have to have the other one. But yeah.
That's all I've been playing. We'll talk about maybe Final Fantasy 16 next week. Certainly the game I'm playing currently that I'm not allowed to talk about, that people who know will know, definitely, because I alluded to it on my stream this week, quite obviously. Right. But now it's time for another question.
It is. It comes from Rock Reese. Hi, Bap. We're at the point where things like Hi-Fi Rush and Jedi Survivor are praised for the fact they are created to be completed instead of aiming to milk us for all of our time and or money. With so many devs still insisting on trying to create the next Destiny or Fortnite, my trust is severely hampered now. This makes me wonder, is this the worst era of games? I know it sounds melodramatic, but with Sony even trying to make so many live service games and a new crash coming out that's basically just for online use, I feel the general direction of developers right now is worse than ever before.
Thanks, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
So Ashton sends us the questions like a day or so in advance, and we read them and you know, make some notes and stuff. And when I first saw this question, without like really considering it, I was like, yeah, I think probably being melodramatic, like it's not the worst time for gaming ever, or the worst era of games. And then like now that I've reread this question and thought more about it, I don't necessarily want to like fully commit to that and say yes, it is. But actually, things are a bit worse than, you know, when I've stopped to think of, yeah, worse than most. Like, there's just a lot of live service happening, and there's a lot of like just multiplayer only games that don't have a decent story, which, I mean, it's difficult to say, because evidently part of the reason that those things are happening is because the general populace presumably like that and are enjoying that, or at least they pay for it. And whether they like it or not, I have to imagine that they do, if these things are successful and people are sinking the money into it. But personally, it's not really for me. I don't play a lot of multiplayer, even just like, I don't know, even the games that I like. For example, I used to play a bit of Battlefront 2, and I don't play that anymore. I've not bought Crash Team Rumble, even though most of the reviews I've seen online, people are saying like, oh, it's surprisingly good if you actually sit down and play it. Like, it wasn't really for me as a concept, and then I played it and it's good. And, you know, I'm a massive Crash Bandicoot fan, and I followed the development of this thing for a long time before it was officially confirmed. There were a lot of just rumors happening. So I was like interested in it until they showed what it was, and then now I'm not. So I do feel like, whether I would say it's the worst era of gaming, I don't know, but it's certainly probably the era of gaming that feels like it caters to my personal proclivities the least, or the least in a while that I can think of. All three of us, I think, at some point over the past year or two have, albeit briefly, and perhaps without much reason, have sort of asked the question, do I like games as much as I used to? And then like came to the conclusion that, yes, no, I do. I was just having a crisis of faith. But I think that's probably quite telling that all of us have, even just for a moment, thought, is this my hobby still? Yeah, it is. I think it is. But, you know, to even ask the question is kind of telling.
I've been feeling like we live in a society.
Yeah,
and,
we do.
I think that my current view on like all, not all pop, but yeah, all pop culture and currently like a lot of creative stuff, that like we're running out of creative individual thought is the kind of my vibe right now. Because the amount of like sequels and remakes and stuff that are coming, not just in games, but in also movies and TV and stuff, it is starting to feel a bit like everything we've seen before. And obviously there will be a point where there will not ever be a single individual thought ever again because there's too many people on the planet. However, I don't know if it's the worst era of gaming. I don't think it's that bad. However, like Peter says, I'm not going to tell you it's a I'm feeling positive about this current era of gaming. I feel like I find myself complaining more about games that are coming out or feeling disinterested with more games that are coming out now than I have been in a while, and also disappointed on release when games are coming out half finished or buggy as all heck and still kind of having all of these problems. I do feel disenfranchised a little bit with what's going on. I also feel like we're in this current last 4 or 5 years has been turmoil in society and all different kinds of reasons, which is probably why we're still feeling the effects of these things, and there's still so many kind of ramifications from the panny D.
From a panny D to a cosy live.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it'd piss you off, that's why I said it. And I do think that there's still like a lot of ramifications from that. And I think we're still feeling the effects of in games of what happened with everyone being locked in their houses and stuff. So I don't think it's the worst era. However, I do think we're in a time of greed and less creative influence from artists and writers, and the rise of AI is not a good thing for anyone, and especially not games, because where it's starting to be used in TV shows, recently was used in a Marvel TV show to make the title sequence, that is not good. And if that is going to start coming into effect with games, then I think we'll be on our track to hit the worst era of gaming. But for now, I don't like the main focus on free-to-play or what they're called, live service games. However, I don't think it's all that bad yet, because we're still getting other games, which is the minute we stop getting these other games and we're just getting live service games, that is when we will have hit rock bottom.
And I guess it's good at least that games like Hi-Fi Rush and Jedi Survivor are being praised for what they're doing. If reviewers, critics were saying, oh, well, there's not a lot of like end game, there's not a lot of long, you know, this isn't, I can't play this multiplayer for the next 2 years, then that would be even worse if that was a criticism.
Yeah.
I think that historically, every modern current era of gaming has felt like the worst one.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's difficult to separate being in it from the objective situation while you're currently living it. I feel like with the benefit of hindsight, past worst times have not been so bad. And that could be just due to the fact that actually everything is getting worse all the time. And hey, maybe currently isn't bad because it's going to get worse. Or maybe it's genuinely just not that bad. Like, we rewind a few years ago to 2019, and I feel like the state of games that year in terms of big releases was kind of rubbish. Like, there wasn't that much big stuff. There were still some huge games, some very popular games, but you fast forward to even this year, the amount of really good, high-quality games that are releasing is staggering. And that may be because of the panny D and all these games having been delayed and they're all coming out now because they're finally ready. Yeah, it sucks that a lot of these games are coming out and they're not finished, and that's inexcusable. And for me personally, as you said, Peter, there is a real focus, it seems, in the industry at the moment on genres and business approaches that I don't find interesting at all. Mm-hmm. However, it also feels like there's never been a bigger variety of games to play and to try out. Mm-hmm. Like the explosion of the indie scene has been ongoing for over a decade now, and I feel like it's only going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And they're only getting more and more of a spotlight shone on them at things like SGF, like we've just seen. If I were to personally pick an era of gaming that, because I feel like it's probably quite subjective. What is the worst time in gaming is probably different for everybody. For me, if you want to talk about crappy business practices, it was between 2010 and 2013 when Sony introduced online passes to games, and then several other big publishers followed suit in an effort to essentially kill the secondhand games market or at least make some more money out of people. So if you're not familiar with what this is, it's every game that had an online component came with a little slip of paper with a code in that you had to input in order to access that game's online features. And once it was redeemed, it was gone. But don't worry, if you got it secondhand or whatever, you could still play online. You just had to pay a little bit more money directly to the publisher in order to play online. And that was not very good. It was quite anti-consumer, very anti-consumer. And thankfully, it started to die out towards the end of 2013. But that sucked. And that felt like a direct assault on players and consumers. So for me personally, that would be one of the worst eras of gaming. For someone else, it might be when E.T. killed the entire games industry. Yeah. You know, it's a sliding scale of what's important to you and what isn't. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment that is rubbish. But I would not rush to label it as the worst era in gaming, for me personally, at least.
No, I don't think it's the worst era of all time. I just think that obviously, like you say, right now, there is a lot of people feeling very disenfranchised with the gaming industry, which I think is completely normal. And like you say, maybe in a few years' time, we'll be like, wow, wasn't 2023 a fantastic year for gaming? And we'll look back at ourselves and be like, ha, they didn't know what they had.
Playing on our Microsoft, Apple, PlayStation, Nintendo,
playing
Switch.
On our own eyes. But yeah, well.
That's it. What's your worst year in gaming?
Yeah.
Let us know. It's time, though, for something a little bizarre.
A little bit strange.
It's new. It's not new, but the story might be. It's weird news.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time for some weird video game news. If you would like to submit weird gaming news to us and get a shout out right here, on this podcast, then you need to send us some weird news stories in response to the post that goes up on a Tuesday.
Yes.
On a Tuesday on Facebook and Twitter. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump supporters at a certain tier and become an podcast producer just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie Garrido Jared,
Gabrielle Philippink,
Ellie Nicholas,
Nexus Polaris,
Melody L. Bonnet,
and Blake Thomas.
Thank you, Blake.
It's Blake Thomas.
Yeah, thank you very much, Blake.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers. Peter, you got some weird news then.
I've got a weird news here that was submitted via Twitter from Calcifer_Dragon, and also on Facebook from Mitch Goodall. So thank you to both of you for sending this story. According to PCGamer.com, just let it load. Here it comes.
Yeah.
It's written by Rich Stanton, and the headline is, the Steam subreddit has suddenly become all about actual Steam and Steam trains.
Excellent.
Cool.
Subheading, one of the many user protests against what's happening at Reddit, full stop.
I don't really get that bit. Because they're protesting Reddit being dingles.
Yeah.
And I just thought that they were just not posting on Reddit.
Well, they were.
And now I keep seeing that they're just posting the wrong thing.
I don't go on Reddit that often, but occasionally I'll, if I'm sort of bored, I've got nothing to do, I'll open the app and then I'll be on it for like an hour and a half and just like, you know, looking at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the front page yesterday or the day before, and interesting as flip, the subreddit where interesting things get posted. Apparently what they're doing on there is just posting loads and loads and loads of not safe for work GIFs.
Oh my goodness.
So every single post was like a blurred NSFW thing. I was like, keep scrolling.
Is that why you spent an hour and a half?
That's exactly why.
Tapping on every single one.
Definitely. So that's how they're doing it. I think everyone did like a blackout, and then like some have now come back, but they're all now doing
protesting.
Their own little
Fair enough.
Protests.
I do get that. Like, I support it, and I understand that probably the effort there is to try and make whatever subreddit is just useless to whoever wants to use it. Like, oh, Reddit's rubbish, I'm not going to come back. But also it does feel like almost like they're spiting themselves in a way. Like they're ruining their own house. I don't know. Anyway, I hope they get what they're after.
Let's learn more. The Steam subreddit has long been one of my... Oh, it's a personal comment here from Rich Stanton. It's long been one of my go-to checks of a morning for the simple reason that the crowd there really, really care about what's going on with Valve's omnipresent PC gaming platform. As one should, of course. It's a community that pores over small changes and is constantly coming up with potential improvements, complaints, and Gabe Newell memes. And honestly, I kind of admire anyone who thinks this much about a gaming client. Check out the Steam subreddit today, however, and you'll find no detailed arguments about how achievements are displayed or chart discussions. Instead, you'll find a whole bunch of enthusiasm for and posts about Steam. You know, a substance containing water in the gas phase that has a million different applications, the harnessing of which is one of the most important technological revolutions in history. Then there's some examples. Someone's put rate my setup, and it's just the sort of cockpit, which is not the word, of a steam train, the engine room. This Canadian Pacific steamship is currently being restored in Canada. Pretty neat, eh? And there's just a photo of a steamship. Very steamy. Someone's done their, like, it's like a vivarium thing or whatever the word would be. And then terrarium. Just a terrarium. And then just a pan that's boiling. Just upgraded from an RTX 2070. Super... RTX 2070 Super to this. Any thoughts on further upgrades? etc. Oh, there's loads. Turbine or piston? ? Look at this beautiful valve. Photo of a valve.
Good.
Very good.
Shrunk the setup. Thoughts? And it's a tiny little steam train.
Very good.
Brilliant.
The community is leaning into the whole Valve/Steam versus Valve/Steam with no uppercase letters misunderstanding because of Reddit's ongoing battle with large parts of its own user base and third-party developers, who for many years have been able to use the site's API for free in creating third-party applications, which a lot of people use because Reddit's official app didn't exist for ages, and when it arrived, it was rubbish. The large-scale protests saw over 7,000 subreddits going dark, though the Steam subreddit is one of many joining the protest in its own way. The article continues, but that is the gist of it. So, for those who didn't know, Reddit have made it now very difficult for people to sort of do third-party stuff. They've essentially introduced things that are going to break a lot of subreddits if they're applied because of the way that these things are kind of looked after.
I think and bots aren't going to work bots, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're pulling a Tumblr and saying that they can't have any NSFW content on their site anywhere at all.
Well,
all the porn subreddits, how dare you?
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
Maybe you should be getting your pornography from somewhere else, like paying a sex worker for it.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. But it's so convenient, Peter.
It is.
It's right there on the app.
It's for free
collated for me.
On Interesting it's as right Flip yeah. subreddit.
I have some weird news from SnowyBoyYanny04 on Twitter. Honestly, the weirdest part about this whole article is the heading. It cracked me up when I saw it the other day. It's from Eurogamer by Tom Phillips. Jeff Keighley says woman was due to appear on Saturday Summer Game Fest stage. There was something... That was something that's a fair flag, he says.
For those who don't know,
Summer Game Fest was the other week, and there was not one single woman who was asked to talk on the show. There was a bunch of white male developers who were talking, and people were like, is it that difficult to just find a woman to speak to just diversify the people who were talking to? It didn't really bother me that much because I didn't want to hear anyone speak anyway, but it is a fair comment that people were saying, and then...
Just give us the exact wording again of that headline.
Yeah.
Because it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Jeff Keighley says, woman was due to appear on Summer Game Fest stage. It should have been a comma there, but it just says, Jeff Keighley says woman was due to appear on stage, Summer Game Fest stage.
I mean, that's great.
Big win for woman.
From Eurogamer. Was it Eurogamer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw people retweeting the headline saying this is... Great, how they've worded it. Like, notes.
Sometimes, like, sometimes, maybe do include the word "ah."
Yeah.
Or like include articles in your article headlines.
No, it was intentional. It was woman. That's all Jeff talked about.
Was it actually intentional?
Yeah.
I thought this was, you know, like when they'll say like headlines say man found in
bin
or whatever.
Oh, see, I thought this was intentional because it was highlighting the fact that it was woman singular.
I don't
singular.
Know. Should I read the article?
Read the article, yes. Yeah. But I thought it was just making fun of Jeff, basically. Yeah. All he said was, woman was meant to be there.
Yeah. Well, if he said that, then yes. But I thought it was symptomatic of the way that headlines are written, and it made it look even worse by saying, woman was going to be there.
Summer Game Fest host Jeff Keighley has commented on the lack of women on stage during this year's show. And said one woman had been due to appear.
Okay.
Discussing the show with CBC, Keighley acknowledged that the all-male lineup on stage had been a fair flag for criticism, even if this had not originally been the intent. This is us actress Melanie LaBird, who also stars in Alan Wake 2 as its new co-protagonist, had been due to appear at one point, Keighley said. However, due to the actress could not attend due to a schedule conflict. And there's a quote from Jeff here. We also want to be authentic to the games that are being presented on the show and the developers that are making them. So yeah, I think we're conscious of it. And that's basically all he said.
Mm.
But a woman was supposed to appear on Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, that's interesting, the point you raised, Peter, because I didn't view it that way. I just saw it as Eurogamer taking the opportunity to sort of dunk on Jeff's defense.
I mean, it
which
was a
like
little bit like that.
One woman.
Yeah.
One woman. Okay, so woman
was
meant to
appear. But I think they're saying like, he says one woman was meant to, but then when you like cut down headlines and you know, they remove a lot of words from news headlines, that's how it came out, which makes it even worse.
It's kind of a non-story because there's no point saying there was because there wasn't, but like it's just funny the way that everyone, because Kotaku also had a very similar headline to their article as well, which is like Jeff Keighley said woman, the woman,
yeah,
the nominated woman.
Yeah.
Right.
She was allowed to appear, but so there wasn't any women.
It's partly, I guess, down to developers and publishers as well for seemingly probably not having that many women in roles where, you know, here comes lead director, another man on this game to come and talk about this game. You know, Jeff is still, you know, party to this, but it comes down to some of these studios as well.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And also, people on Twitter, really, really annoying. Who cares? Well, if they only represent 1% of gamers anyway, Not correct. At all. Not correct, by the way.
Even if it was 1%, there was not even 1% woman on stage. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, not even a foot.
Did people actually say that? They only represent 1% of gamers.
People are like, such a small minority of gamers. And I'm like, isn't it like 49% of gamers are women?
It's about
and then they're like, oh, but they just play Candy Crush. And you're like, no, they play games.
Yeah.
You horrible, horrible little man. Weasel man. Do you have some news, Ben?
In some parts of the gaming sphere, it's something like 80% women.
Yeah.
In certain genres and certain platforms and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. People always like, no one understands Switch as its own like entity. And then they'll also be like, but also 85% of people who play it are women. So there's no gamers in this world.
Yeah.
Anyway. Enough of the weasels.
I've got, don't suffocate them. Just ignore them. Mm. We have got some weird news now from Johnny Mac at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter. This comes from Time Extension Random.
Weasel discovered.
Weasel.
Rare Sega Dreamcast dev kit worth thousands turns up in electronics recycled shop.
Wow.
So here we are. A rare Sega Dreamcast development kit worth thousands has turned up in the unlikeliest of locations, as spotted by @DMGDeeb over on Twitter. The dev kit, which includes, get ready, Peter, you'll be excited about this, a GD Writer HKT04, get ready, Ashton, DevBox HKT01, a Dreamcast unit, and a Dreamcast keyboard, along with a development disc for a Japanese exclusive photo editor, was discovered inside a small museum at REPC. And I've looked this up, Tukwila-based electronics recycle shop that DMG Deeb was visiting at the time. Tukwila is in Washington.
Oh, okay. Mm. That Tukwila. Is a lot of acronyms.
Yes.
Letters.
According to one of DMG Deeb's tweets, someone actually donated the kit to the store, which opens up a ton of questions about how the original owner came to hand it over. There's the picture. It just looks like a PC tower.
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I knew you'd like it.
It's got an A, B, C, D in it.
Yeah.
G-E-F-H-I-J.
Well, hold on.
H-O-10176.
Hold on. A Katana HKT01 dev box alone sold for $2,296.77 on eBay back in 2022.
I'd pay for that.
So we have to imagine that this is worth substantially more than that. It's therefore a little hard to picture someone just giving it away unless they were personally trying to help out the store's owners with a big donation or didn't have a clue what they had on their hands to begin with. Mm. So there we are. That's it. That's the...
Lucky. I always wanted a HT-10K.
That's it. HKT-04, yeah.
Yeah.
HKT-01 as well.
I've got an HKT-09.
Oh my God, that's worth like £150.
That's five better than this one.
Yeah.
It is. Still though, kind of mental.
Yeah.
If I would have seen that and thought, that's a PC tower.
If you care about that.
But if you know what it is, these things probably are becoming more and more rare, aren't they?
Yeah.
I want one of those PS5 dev kits that looks like a big V. Remember those? And everyone was scared that the consoles were going to... I want one of those.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. It's time now for the big discussion.
Oh-ho.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Just Dan.
Dan the man.
Holy Snapple, that was a good Nintendo Direct, wasn't it? What do you think of their announcements, and what will you be playing? Thanks, Tide Author Dan.
Thanks, Tide Author Dan.
Yes, Nintendo Direct was on Wednesday afternoon at a reasonable time, which was lovely for us.
3 p.m.
in the UK.
It was lovely.
And some people were speculating that maybe there'll be some big stuff there, considering that Tears of the Kingdom was their last major game that we knew of that was coming soon. Obviously, we didn't really know when Pikmin was coming. And I think, what's it called? Metroid is also sort of just, we don't know what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm. We did know when Pikmin was coming.
Sorry?
We did know when Pikmin
we
was
did.
Coming.
Yeah. Okay, well, I take that back then. Regardless, we were hoping to see some big stuff there. And I think we got some big stuff there.
Yeah.
It was pretty exciting.
And some pretty close release dates for them as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good, I think, on the whole. We're going to run through the things that were announced.
Yeah.
Can we just
yeah.
take it one at a time?
Yeah. Yeah. Are these your words, Ashton, or are they from...
No, I wrote mine. Based on an article, and then Ben said they're not in the right order.
They're
so
not.
Then he got his own list.
No. I just moved yours around.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh, so I just rearranged them.
Oh, not all of them are mine.
Because there's occasional bits of like hell yeah and stuff, and I'm not sure if we're quoting someone else.
The hell yeahs aren't mine.
Okay.
They are yours.
They're not.
They're not yours.
No.
Okay.
Maybe I did delete mine and just, I think I deleted mine and put something else's in because I don't think I wrote this.
We'll read this, and some of it is not our words.
Some of it's opinionated.
Citation needed.
Okay.
But anyway. Shall I start?
Yeah, go on, Peter.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, the hidden treasure of Area Zero DLC is sort of fully detailed. We saw a few minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two segments, one coming out in fall and one coming out in winter.
Yeah, which are kind of in quite disparate locations. One's in like an underwater city or something.
The teal mask was one of them.
Yeah, and this did make me think, like, I kind of wish I still liked Pokemon and understood who all these Pokemon are. I do feel like I'm so far lost on knowing what the hell any of these Pokemon are that I'll probably never ever get back into it. Well, and I never really was into it in the gaming sense in the first place, but I liked it as a franchise.
You grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, well,
hard to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. I had the cards and stuff and watched it on TV occasionally, but it did make me think, like, man, that looks nice, especially if you like Pokemon, which I don't, or I don't know anything about it. But
you know what my most significant issue with this trailer was?
What?
The lady's haircut.
Oh yeah, the fringe.
Oh, with the fringe.
The fringe
there
that
were
went.
Two people who had the
yeah,
same.
The fringe
and then, like,
that went across.
Brother.
Yeah, what was? And it was basically covering. Their eyes were just poking out.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
That was
really
very weird.
There's some very strange haircuts in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, anyway. But that is the strangest one I've seen.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There was something very...
I can't wait for the cosplayers to make that.
Kind of upsetting about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Physically, that shouldn't work.
No.
How does it? It's like a bumblebee flying. How can a fringe do that?
Every day she straightens it to cover her nose.
To cross over her nose in two little J's. It's weird, like a hair tusk.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Horrible. We also got another look at Sonic Superstars, which we got a look at Summer Game Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Back to vintage Sonic by the looks of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks lovely, I think. I mean, again, I don't have that much experience of Sonic, but I do think, like, that is probably what they should be doing, I think. They should be just making games like that, not the 3D ones that just move too fast for you to be able to turn properly. Just give me a 2D plane and it probably plays a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw multiplayer farming sim Palia, which is coming in holiday 2023 and is also coming to Switch. Now, that was the first farming sim game.
Yes, but that's got like, it's got kind of building. It's a life sim and a farming sim. And also it's got like some kind of exploration, which you can play online with other people or just on your own if you fancy. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Free to play as well. So,
yeah.
Persona 5 Tactica. The 5 looks like an S, and when it said P5T, I just went psst to myself when I saw it. It's a Persona 5 spin-off heading to Switch. We saw this the other day as well.
Yeah. We thought it was just coming to Xbox and PC, but
it's coming elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
Still not really sold on Persona Tactics, but we'll see. It'll come out and I'll lose my mind probably, so, you know, whatever.
MythForce. A game inspired by Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes.
I don't remember much about this game.
I like the look of this. This is like a co-op roguelike or roguelite.
Sort of He-Man style.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yes.
It looks like that guy's YouTube videos where he rotoscopes people into like games and or whatever. I can't remember. I can't even describe the videos that he does, really. But he applies this weird effect where it's sort of like a cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I know the channel you mean.
Saturday morning cartoon style, which is very similar to, it looks what they've done here, where they do all look like cartoons, like He-Man, as you said.
Yeah.
But you're going through dungeons and you've got all, you know, the typical classes and stuff and fighting your way through these roguelike environments. Looked interesting. I like the look of it.
Yeah, it did.
This is me now, isn't it?
Yeah.
New Splatfest is coming to Splatoon. It pits vanilla against strawberry and mint choc chip ice cream.
At one point, the voiceover man went, delicious cream.
Did he? I must have tuned that out. That's happening between the 14th and the 16th of July, so get stuck into that new Splatfest. Out of interest, what's your favorite of the three?
I quite like mint chip. I'm a bit of a mint gal. I don't really like strawberry ice cream.
No, I don't. I like strawberry sweets and stuff, but I don't like it as ice cream that much. I'd eat it if it was put in front of me, but
I like all of them, but I'm a huge vanilla fan in general. I think it's a delicious flavor
yeah.
and a lovely smell.
Mm. I agree. Detective Pikachu, Detective Pikachu 2 is real, and it's coming this year.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu Returns, I think, is the official
Yes, that's
title.
Right. It was called that. So you can go solve mysteries. There was a Vulpix in that. I saw a Vulpix and a Snorlax.
Great.
In fact, no, the Vulpix was in Scarlet and Violet. And that's the only Pokemon I recognize in the entire trailer.
There's a mystery happening with Mewtwo during Pokemon Friendship Week. And Pikachu just loves his coffee.
He can't get enough of it. There's a Psyduck with a detective hat on as well at one point.
Yeah, I recognized a lot more Pokemon in this than I did in Scarlet and Violet.
Mm. Yeah.
No Ryan Reynolds. No Danny DeVito either voicing Detective Pikachu.
No.
That's a shame.
You know, it is what it is. It's coming.
It was an all right voice, though. It was
I've got no issue
suitably
with it.
Kind of, you know, jarring to see a little Pikachu speaking like that. So
This doesn't have the release date on, but I'm pretty sure it's coming in November.
Okay, I can have a check now.
Yeah. Also, Super Mario RPG remake is real with new graphics and old gameplay. It looks pretty cute, this one.
Yeah, it did.
It has big Final Fantasy VII vibes in my mind. I think
Spinal Jamboree.
Sorry, I think yes.
Thank
of
you.
I think this is also coming this year. I want to say October, but that might be the other Mario game that we've got to look at. But yeah, this looks pretty cute. And for fans of the 1996, I think, original, or never got to play that, this hopefully should scratch that itch.
I like some of the character designs in this, like monster designs and stuff. It looked really good.
Mm. Yeah.
Detective Pikachu 2 is coming out in October,
ah,
it seems. And I've long heard the people extolling the virtues of Super Mario RPG, and I've never had a chance to play it. It seems like
this one's coming November 17th. Sorry.
Excellent. It seems like the reaction online among hardcore fans of Super Mario RPG is very positive. They're really happy about how it's been translated, and you know, you've got sort of the same stubby character designs that were in the original, but they've been modernized and cartoonized a bit more. And this is one I would like to play. I would really like to play this one.
Yeah,
it looks turn-based, and I have no idea what the story is, but it's one of those games that people are like, oh, that game is one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of the games. And so I'm looking forward to getting the opportunity to play it on conventional hardware.
Mm.
Next up, we've got... Is it my turn?
Yeah.
We've got Princess Peach, who's getting her own game.
Mm.
It doesn't have a name yet, and it seemed to sort of take place on a stage.
Yeah, at one point the guy said, when she stands on that spot of the stage, what? What's this?
it was a bit translated from Japanese, wasn't it?
There were so many awkward, like, the voice of man doing strange pauses during the show yesterday. It was cracking me up. But I'm a fan of a Princess Peach game, and this looks pretty good, but no release date, no name.
Don't know what it is.
Said we'll learn more sort of next time.
Yeah.
I think.
Her dress went blue briefly at one point. That happened. I think Princess Daisy was there too.
What's happening?
Yeah.
To complete the trifecta, Luigi is also... Remember Luigi? He's back in Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon from the 3DS being remade.
Yeah.
So there you go. You've got Mario, Peach and Luigi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it's a full remake or it's just an updated graphics. It may
I think
just
it's
be
just
a
shine.
They didn't specifically say...
A spit and shine.
Remake or remaster or anything. They just... They used some word like it's
upgrade.
Yeah, upgrade, which doesn't
visually
tell you
enhanced.
Tell you exactly how they've done it, whether they've done it from the ground up or just spit polish. But yeah, sounds like a remaster more than a remake to me. But.
Yeah, do you remember how well Witcher 3 ran on the Switch?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They're also putting on the Switch the Batman Arkham trilogy.
Hooray!
I think it's going to run like ass. It didn't run particularly well when it came out originally anyway. Yeah. Doesn't run that well on PC most of the time.
Well, they managed to get Arkham City sort of running on the Wii U.
Yes.
And the Switch isn't a huge leap forward in terms of power.
No.
But Arkham Knight in particular, the third game, I feel will probably struggle the most.
Yeah, probably. We're wondering if it might be cloud gaming or if you'll be able to actually install it on your Switch. You might have to delete every other game on there. But yeah, that is coming at some point this year. Mm-hmm. So,
Gloomhaven is coming to Switch on the 18th of September. That's an indie that made James go, "Oh, Gloomhaven."
It had cards and it had hexagons
and
it was a fighting tactical game.
Mm-hmm. That's all I know about it.
Yeah.
Just Dance 2024, there are more tracks confirmed, and you can get a 1 month free trial, apparently, whatever that means.
I don't know what that means.
Well, no. I think it's just you can get the game for free for a month, and then there's a battle pass situation, like... because they're adding more songs as the year goes on.
Okay, interesting. So it's free to play now for a month?
Yeah, for a month.
That feels like all the time I would probably want with Just Dance.
But you might get hooked.
Maybe.
You might love it.
Yeah, I could actually.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Silent Hope is a new XSEED action RPG game. This one, was it one of them anime games again? This one?
The man said, this may not be an exact quote because I only wrote it down about 10 minutes after the trailer had happened, but heroes bound by fate must explore the abyss to find the lost king.
Oh yeah, you love this. You love that.
That tells me that separates it from zero other anime games.
But
all of the other anime games involve exploring the abyss to find the lost king.
But does other anime games have a sad princess who's so sad she's trapped in a crystal of her own
tears? Is that this one?
I think so.
Okay, but and also the king. Why has the king stolen all of the words?
Why?
That was a question they asked at the end. Question. It's like, what does
it's
that
the
mean?
USP, princess in tears and stolen words.
Tears of the princess. Yeah. Tears of the. If only there was a more concise name. Mm. Tears of the kingdom. I don't know. Yeah. Never mind.
That wouldn't work.
We've also got a new trailer for fantasy farming sim, Fae Farm.
Yeah.
That's two. Two fantasy farming sims.
I think
sims
there was
now.
Also a third one in there. That had farming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we may be up to three at this point.
Yeah.
Not quite as many as last time.
No, not quite as many.
It's kind of Stardew-ish looking, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've seen Fae Farm a few times. Yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. Fae Farm, Faux Farm.
Yes.
Also, Manic Mechanics, four-player co-op mechanic take on Overcooked. I mean, it looks good in the sense that Overcooked is good, but I do wonder how many times can we just reskin Overcooked where you're on a spaceship.
Yeah.
There's now a lot of Overcooked-style games.
You know, like, yeah.
My favorite bit from that trailer was, let's make your chassis real classy. And my brain went, I don't think it's chassis, but okay.
Mm. It's pronounced chassis.
Chassis. We got a second DLC for Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which dropped yesterday, and I think it was called like The Last Spark or something. It looked a bit like, I want to say like Avatar was what the vibes I got, in the sense of that there's like a tribe of rabbids who have, they've got face paint and stuff on. Mm-hmm. But that's exciting. I'm a big fan of that game. I've not finished it, but I need to. But yeah, it dropped last night. That was the first we heard about it, and it happened yesterday. So yeah, interesting.
Dragon Quest Monsters The Dark Prince is the series' take on Pokemon, but with genetic splicing, it says. I'm fairly sure Dragon Quest has always had sort of like a Pokemon angle, but regardless, you're becoming the king of monsters, I think is what it said in the trailer.
A man with a beard said, you're going to have to become a monster wrangler.
The accents were really weird in this one. Because
sound like David Tennant briefly.
Because I think we've spoken about this before, maybe on Weirdest Games, like anime stuff always feels like the characters should speak with an American accent in a way. And so when there were these broad English accents in there, it kind of threw me off quite a lot.
It's not as dramatic and exciting, is it, when it's
It also looked a bit rough. Like it didn't, presentation-wise, didn't look great.
There
was a bit
the combat
the
was
where...
juddery as, even in the stream, like it looked like it was running at 10 frames per second.
I wondered for a minute when I first saw it, I was like, oh, is this some sort of like re-release of a game from about 15 years ago? Because it just didn't look that good. And they're like, oh, no.
There was a bit at the end where they were like, oh, dramatic final bit. And there was some limply delivered line that didn't sound very threatening. Mm. And there was a shot of the village that we've seen a few times in the trailer that had one of the worst fire effects I've ever seen going on. It's like, is that... The stakes don't seem very high. I don't know. I really don't know about that one. Not sure.
Pikmin 4 gameplay walkthrough. We've seen interior and underground areas now. Mm-hmm. So more Pikmin. We obviously knew that this was sort of, this existed, but we saw a fair amount of it there. I mean, I don't really get the appeal of Pikmin, or at least a fourth Pikmin. You know, I kind of feel like surely a lot of Pikmin has just sort of been done now in the first few games. But hey, there's new like glowy Pikmin that only come out at night.
Yeah.
Glowmin.
And other stuff.
Oatly the dog.
Yeah.
The two-legged dog.
They're still innovating.
Ochi, yeah.
Is that Ochi?
Who looks like a Colin the Caterpillar cake.
I don't like Ochi. Everyone was losing their minds over Ochi. I find Ochi quite unsettling.
I liked Ochi. I'm quite excited for this game. I've not played a Pikmin before, but I like the vibe of a Pikmin game. And I've played like Pikmin-esque games before, like Tinykin's got very similar vibe to Pikmin. I'm going to give this one a go.
21st of July is when that comes out. Under a month. So get excited if you're looking forward to Pikmin 4.
Well, Ashton, if you've not played a Pikmin game before.
Yeah, big news. There's HD versions of Pikmin 1 and 2 dropping digitally on the eShop.
They're out now.
You can play that one today if you fancied.
Yep. Metal Gear Solid, the Master Collection, is out in October and is also coming to Switch now. One thing I thought was interesting is that GameCube had a remake of Metal Gear Solid 1. Called Twin Snakes, I believe. And that seemingly is not included in this collection. It's the PS1 original. I would have thought if Twin Snakes was going to come out again, it would have been on the Switch version of this, but seemingly not. Maybe that will be in collection part two or whatever it is that they end up calling it. We'll see. But yeah, coming to Switch as well, which is nice.
We had indie game Phenomenon Vampire Survivors coming to Switch with co-op in August. I'm not really that familiar with Vampire Survivors, but
I've watched my boyfriend play it, and it just looks like sensory overload. The game, like,
it's sort of an idle game, but not right.
Well,
it auto fires, but then
but you have to move around and collect stuff, and you level up and pick what kind of thing you want to do. People love this game,
and I
kind of understand why. And people were really excited that you can play in co-op now. So
yeah,
we got another trailer. Well, I don't know if we'd already had a trailer. We had a teaser trailer, I would say. But we had a full trailer for Headbangers Rhythm Royale, which is a pigeon Fall Guys-esque game, but all of the games are rhythm-based. There's like a copy, like a Simon Says style game. There's just a rhythm game. There's kind of one that's a bit like that Trombone Champ, I think. There's one that was a bit like that. And it's basically just rhythm game battle royale, but with pigeons.
It looks kind of fun, I think. Like, I don't know how much you can innovate on rhythm action, but they showed a few different mini games and they looked kind of different-ish to each other. And the pigeons are kind of a bit Aardman looking, I thought. So, yeah.
What's it called? Penny's Big Breakaway, a 3D platformer from the team behind Sonic Mania, was shown.
Yeah.
I actually can't remember this at all.
She rides on a yo-yo.
Yeah.
It was basically the premise is that was doing an audition and it went terribly wrong. And so she's running away from like the king's forces and she's riding on a yo-yo. So it looks very much similar to like Sonic when Sonic's running. And it's like a 3D kind of similar. It's very similar to Sonic Mania. It's
fairly retro platformer looking game, a 3D platformer. Quite bright colors though. Don't know if it's for me. It was a bit sensory overload for me, to be honest, but see what happens with it. Then we had we got Wave 5 of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass, adding Petey Piranha, Wiggler and Kamek as new drivers.
Wiggler.
Yeah, Wiggler.
So we got, you can now race as like a plant. Well, maybe you could already do that, a different plant. But, now there's a new plant coming. And, a caterpillar thing, whatever Wiggler is. And is Kamek a turtle?
He's the one in the blue cloak.
I know, wizard what thing. He looks
Yeah, he's one of...
A Cooper thing?
Yeah, I think he's a Cooper.
Taken his shell off, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he might have a shell on. He's just got a cloak.
Well, it's just under his cloak. Yeah.
There is a remake of the second Star Ocean game that's on the way in November. Star Ocean: The Second Story R is the name of it.
I mean,
I love the look of these type of games where it's like a 2D sprite on a 3D background. But I will not be playing this game.
Talk about sensory overload! Did you see when they got into combat and there were about 60 million damage numbers on screen.
Yeah, the damage numbers were very
just
high.
Covering up the entire fight. Like, you could not see what was happening.
At what point, when you're regularly doing 6 million damage, could you just have scaled that
divided
all the way back?
All down
just scale it all down.
If your enemy can take more than 6 million damage, your enemy's taking too much.
It doesn't
much
mean
damage.
Anything. Like, I'm doing 6 million damage. It doesn't mean anything then, does it?
No.
Scale it right back. Yeah. I'm doing 250 damage to this enemy with 10,000 health. Okay, that's more reasonable.
Yeah.
Stop hitting for 12 billion damage. Yeah, I don't like games.
But it looked very pretty.
Yes, this is a very popular Star Ocean game. I've never played a Star Ocean game, but, you know, a remake, people will like that.
It's a stupid name, though. The second story, R.
Yeah. This is my problem with a lot of JRPGs that I am not into, is that I find them impenetrable usually from the name alone, because I have no idea in the canon or in the release schedule where these games were released.
That's half of the problem with Kingdom Hearts for me. Not just because it has a terrible, complicated plot.
One, two, three.
But that, because it's like 0.8 Megamix Final HD version minus one to the power of three.
What does it mean?
Square rooted.
All you need to do is go on Wikipedia to find out, but I just feel that's I find
an
it off
step I'm not willing to take.
Just find it off putting sometimes. WarioWare, there's a new WarioWare game. That's very exciting. WarioWare Move It. I particularly enjoyed the wiggle.
200 micro games.
200 micro games, including some that are actually from Nintendo franchises. There was a bit of Mario going down the slide. There was a Pikmin bit as well. I particularly liked the wiggle one because it showed the man from behind like waving his whole body around. Yeah. And that was good. I enjoyed it. It was funny.
Yeah. I like a WarioWare game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Played a few on the Wii. Or the Wii one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally, Super Mario Bros. Wonder is bringing back 2D action, much like Sonic is doing. It's coming in October. So this looked cute and interesting, innovative. Mm. It's amazing how they can still somehow innovate on 2D Mario.
Yeah.
But you pick up blue something or others, and it's basically a complete kind of, you don't know what's going to happen next. You pick up the thing and everything goes silhouette and Mario's like 10 feet tall or the pipes turn into worms or whatever. Yeah.
I read online that it's the first 2D Mario game outside of Mario Maker in over a decade.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it is. And you it can really play sneaks Daisy. Up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Mm. You can play as Daisy.
Yes.
In it, there's a co-op mode in this as well, so you can play as other characters.
We saw Yoshi briefly.
We did see Yoshi, but they were very much like, and Daisy as well. You can play as her as well if you'd like. So,
pretty
cool. It looked pretty good. You get to be an elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was the big thing at the end, wasn't it? He ate a mystery shroom and turned into an elephant.
They know how to meme their stuff, don't they?
They do. They know that will be viral, virally marketed. Like it looks great, and I, along with many other people, were wondering what on earth they were going to do to capitalize on the success of the Super Mario Bros. Movie when there's no new Mario games out. And it seems that they're addressing that. We've got, I think, four Mario and Mario adjacent games, be they remasters, remakes, or brand new games announced or shown at this this direct, which is precisely what they needed to do. And a lot of these games, as you said, Ashton, are coming really soon.
Yeah.
And that's quite nice. So on the whole, while I don't predominantly play on the Switch, I think it was a really good Nintendo Direct. And there's at least two or three games in there that I would actually really like to play.
Yeah, I'm for the same way. I kind of haven't picked up my Switch in a while, but there's a couple of new games, like I said, that maybe I'll steal the back off my boyfriend because he's been hogging it, playing Zelda. there's a couple of things coming out. And I'm just so glad that stuff's coming out this year. Like, I love that. I feel like Nintendo are really good at that, where they say, like, we've got a game, 6 months.
Yeah.
Just a little treat for you. Whereas other games, it's like, we've got a game, 3 years till you
can
see
it. And then we'll delay it.
Yeah. I thought it was a great showcase.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't really play the Switch at all, to be honest. But I do think just as a showcase, seeing it as a, from the point of view of a Switch fan in particular, I can see that that would be a really exciting collection of announcements. And especially with those short kind of release times as well.
So. And with that, I think we truly, truly have drawn the Summer Game Fest festivities to an end.
Quite.
When's Annapurna?
Next week.
Next week?
Still not happened.
I thought that was in July.
No,
okay.
It's the 29th of June, I believe.
The party keeps rolling then.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next week. And then it's done. Mm. It's truly done. The celebration.
Let me Google it just in case it is July, but I'm pretty sure it's this month.
Well, while Ashton does that, we'd like to hear from you. Tell us about what you thought of the things we discussed today.
29th of June, I was right.
29th of June.
Nice.
And also, what you made of the Nintendo Direct. Was it good? What are you looking forward to? Let us know in the comments below and various other places around the internet. Peter's going to tell you some of them right now.
YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. It's where we do our videos on YouTube and our live streams over on Twitch and occasionally on YouTube, but not regularly, just for special occasions. When we're streaming on Twitch, we are modded by Lob Rotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. And also, you can become a Twitch subscriber by just using that Amazon Prime sub that you're probably already paying for and maybe you've not spent yet. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTrip or jump for our social media presence. There's video and live stream announcements on there, video, legacy video content, bits of weird news, occasional kind of polls and things, all kinds of things put there by Fraser and us as well. And Ashton is putting things on our TikTok, which is tiktok.com/@TeamTripleJump. And finally, from me, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There are loads of tiers on there, each with its own multitude of rewards, not awards. So have a look at the rewards and choose which one you might like, if any.
We have a website. It's jjju.mp, spells jump. It's very clever.
So clever.
And if you'd like to join our Discord and chat with our wonderful community, go to jjju.mup/Discord. On there, modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. If so you do something, bloody well do it, all right? If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, go to jjju.mup/podcast. To catch up on any of our live stream vods, go to jjju.mup/vods. And to get any of us three and James Jenkins on Cameo, why don't go to jjju.mup/cameo. And lastly, if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, like this Sports Time t-shirt, why don't go to shibblejumpshop.com. Thank you so much for buying all the merch we had. It now means we've sold enough that we can make new merch.
Yay!
Which hopefully next few months. And if you want to find out first when that's coming, make sure you're following @ChippleJumpShop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
It's happening. We're doing it. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton and myself just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On Twitch. All the streams are on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everybody else. Weirdest Games is monthly. A week early for patrons of a certain tier. The After Dark podcast is fortnightly on Mondays for patrons of a certain tier. And the podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the bloody time as well. Come check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice for this podcast? It helps a lot. Something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. And it won't cost you a penny.
Mm-mm.
So please go and do that. We'd really, really appreciate it. A few things out this week. Well, I mean, the lists are out this week, of course, as per usual. But one main thing out this week. Ashton.
Yes. It's Worst Games Ever.
Yeah, what's
and
it?
I'd like to say that I know this is not the name, but I couldn't figure out what the name was. So this is what I'm gone with, because this is what you wrote on the goddamn spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Michael Chickpea's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And then it says in tiny font on the running order, I know this is not the name, but I don't know who Michael Chickpea could be. So... we are playing The Shield, the game, or just The Shield, which stars Michael Chiklis, otherwise known as Michael Chickpea.
I googled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, what is this game?
Mikey Hummus.
I was trying to think of a way not to catch you out, because I know that you're too clever for that, but I just wanted to see if there was a way I could evade you trying to reverse engineer the nonsense.
She wasn't too clever for this one. This was too complicated.
Yeah, because it was so not what the game's name is.
Anyway, that's out now for patrons, and it'll be out for everybody tomorrow. Speaking of convoluted and complicated things nobody can work out, let's talk about the sponsor once more.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Of course, it is Spinal Jamboree Sigpreen, which is available right now on PlayStation 5 and I think PC as well. Spinal Jamboree Sigpreen.
Giving us a sick peen.
Sick peen.
That would have been way
sick
better.
Sick peen.
Go to the urologist for sick peen. Square Enix competition in collaboration with the NHS and their best neurosurgeons. Spinal Jamboree Sick Preen.
Yeah.
Available right now. Thanks for watching /listening, everybody. We'll see you next stream.
Next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.